Okay, so we've started. So, okay, what did I... You see, this is somehow the difficulty with technology. So, you know, before I had mathematics in mind, and now we had 20 minutes of setting up technology, and I completely forgot what the math was supposed to be about. Okay, I'm trying to remind myself. Also, let me say that Roland will find it boring because we talked about most of it, okay? So, also let me say that I will follow a handout, and I sent you a URL, and hopefully you have access to it. The handout is also the screen share, my screen share. Okay, so what's the story? So, yeah. This is really jumping into the future. So I don't think we're done talking about zero call. But last week I made some progress on one call, and the result came out so elegant so much more elegant than I expected that I wanted to share it. So basically, I found a decent language for the braid representation that you get in one call. So this braid representation will eventually become a tangle invariant and a link invariant, and a knot invariant. But at the moment, it's just the braid representation. Okay. Now, let me tell you, so if you look at the handout, there are four braid representations that appear in it. So I wanted to share with you what they are. So first of all, what are they in the abstract? So in the abstract, not in the abstract, so where do they fit in the picture? Okay? So the way they fit in the picture is as follows. So again, I'm always looking, I'm looking at sort of the quotient of whatever it is by the two correlation, by two co brackets kill everything, okay, and that quotient has a total space, okay. So I'll just call it total. I hope you can see this. Now, you can further quotient by tails commute, or by one co, okay? And if you do this, then the total space projects to sort of what I call W or zero co, which is sort of the stuff which is supposedly easy, okay? And this goes to zero, okay? But also, there is, within this total space, the subspace, which is generated, basically the kernel. So the subspace which is generated by things that already have one co-bracket in them, okay? So, I don't know, this maybe I should call pure one co, okay? And basically every, so every space that we will deal with, so every representation, every invariant, any space where invariants take values, has this structure. So it's a total space which has a quotient which is a sort of the W thing, which we understand more or less, and there is a kernel, and the kernel is the somehow pure one co. Okay, so this is what I understood for braids. What I finally understood for braids. Okay, so for braids, this comes out to be the Gassner representation. So this, the zero co, is the Gassner representation. The pure one co is some complicated mess which, after several changes of variables, becomes, so you know, let me call the representation space of the Gassner representation V. So after several changes of variables, this becomes a V direct sum, the second symmetric power of V tensor V dual, the adjoint, the dual representation of V. And this is new. This is something that I've just learned. Okay? And the fact that it's so easy is something that I've just learned. Okay? And then there is stuff here. Okay. And then there is the total stuff here. So this is the stuff I really care about. In itself decomposes sort of into two parts. The parts which is the extension of V by V. So it's V extended by V and V extended by the bigger part, S squared V tensor V dual. So this is mainly what I want to talk to you about. So this is like three of the four representations that I want to talk to you about. So the Gassner representation, and then these two extensions. And then the fourth one is, you'll see. Okay? Good. So let's start with the Gassner representation. So the Gassner representation we've already analyzed. Okay? So the Gassner representation is just, I never remember these things, but sort of it's best defined by the program that computes it. And I'm kind of proud because the program that computes it is a one-line program. So basically, GIJ, so this is the image under the Gassner representation of the generator sigma ij of the virtual braid group. Okay? So gij is just defined by, okay, so the space for the Gassner representation is a vector space generated by v1 up to vn, if we're talking about an n-strand braid. And it's a vector space over a ring Rn, and, sorry, so it's not a vector space. I think a vector space over a ring is called a module. Sorry. So it's a module over a ring Rn, where Rn is the ring of Laurent polynomials in variables Ti to the plus minus 1. So that's Laurent, where I runs from 1 to n. Okay? And then the Gassner representation is defined by so Gij acting on the generator Vk is equal to Vk if k is not equal to j, and if k is equal to j, and I think we figured it out last time, or maybe the time before, okay? And if k is equal to j, then this is vj plus 1 minus ti times, tivj plus 1 minus ti vi. Okay? And sort of, as I mentioned, the implementation is ridiculously easy. So in fact, maybe I will lift this to show the upper screen as well, just so that you'll see where, I don't know, does it make sense? You probably cannot read anything, right? The far away people, Christine and Roland, can you read anything? Can you hear me?
Oi.
Hello.
Can you hear me? What? Can you read it?
No, not from now.
Okay. So, you know what? Let me just execute the program line by line and you'll see it on the screen share. Okay?
Yeah.
So, I'm executing the first line, which starts with the command, with the characters K delta, and this is for use later. It has nothing to do with the Gassner representation, and K delta simply stands for Kronecker delta. And the only thing that this line is, it's a shortcut for Kronecker delta. I just didn't want to use the long form, it's nothing. So I'm executing it, and nothing happened. And then the next line, which I'm now highlighting, can you see the highlight?
Yes.
Okay. This is a full definition of the Gassner representation. So, you know, I think it's worth... somehow, sometimes the implementation is simpler than the words. Okay? So, this is a full implementation of the Gassner representation. Basically, Gassner IJ applied to Xi, so Xi is a combination of VIJ, of VKs, is Xi sat with the replacement rule, so you don't need to say anything about VK because nothing happens to it. So the only replacement rule to write is VJ goes to TIVJ plus 1 minus TIVI, and this is the replacement rule written here. Okay? So let me execute it. And now my computer is fully aware of the Gassner representation. So next, let me print three things in one column. So the first thing is R3L. So Rademeister 3 left hand side. And the Rademeister 3 left hand side is you take the three generators, V1, V2, V3, and apply to them G12 and then G13 and then G23, and that's exactly the left-hand side of the Rademeister move. Then also define Rademeister 3 right to be V1, V2, V3, to which you apply G23, G13, the other side of the Rademeister move. And finally, let's compute Rademeister 3 left minus Rademeister 3 right and expand the result. So let me execute all three at the same time. And what is the conclusion? So the conclusion is, so now I'm, I might be outside of your screen, but the conclusion is, well, you know, the image of V1 under the left-hand side is V1. The image of V2 under the left-hand side is 1 minus T1 V1 plus T1 V2. Basically, all the images are written down, and when you expand the difference, you get a list of zeros. So here is a list of zeros, and this is just the statement Rademeister 3 holds. Okay? Now, as an aside, let me compute overcrossings commute. So let me remind you what is overcrossings commute. So overcrossings commute is the relation this is equal to, so basically you can slide a strand of over a virtual crossing. So what I wrote is equal to this side, okay? So this is OC, overcrossings commute, and in words, this is, so if this is strand 1 and this is strand 2 and this is not in words, in formulas, so, and if this is 1, this is 2, this is 3, then this is sigma 1 over 2, so this is 1 goes over 2, 1 goes over 3, so sigma 1, 2, sigma 1, 3 is equal to, and the right-hand side is first 1 goes over 3, and then 1 goes over 2. So sigma 1, 3, sigma 1, 2. Okay? So I do the same treatment to overcrossings, to this relation. So I take V1, V2, V3, and apply to them G1, G2, and then G1, G3, or G1, 3, and then G1, 2, and compute the difference and expand, and the result is again 0.
Sorry, I have a...
Yeah?
So these are not...
Speak loud.
These are not pure?
These are virtual breaks, are always pure.
Okay, so...
There's no meaning to the word pure.
Okay.
In other words, my generators are...
You can add a bunch of virtual...
Yeah, you add. You can freely add a bunch of virtual crossings. I don't count virtual crossings.
Okay.
So this is just an aid for drawing. Okay? So in other words, sigma 1, 2 means strand 1 goes over strand 2. And then it goes wherever it wants, you know. If you want, you can put it back where it was virtually. Okay? But you don't need to put it where it was. It just has no place. It's an abstract thing. It has no placement along a line a priori. Anyway, so yeah, if you want, this is all about pure virtual braids. You can artificially make an impure group of virtual braids, but it's artificial. Anyway, so the fact that we just verified overcrossings commute says that the Gassner representation is a representation of W braids, which is what we expected it to be. So this is a good test, okay? And then just for fun, I'm also verifying undercrossings commute. So this is this. And undercrossings commute is exactly the same, except you flip the crossings here. And when you verify it, you find that it is not satisfied. So the testing line here is not a list of zeros. So undercrossings commute is not satisfied, and this is good news, because if undercrossings commute was satisfied, then it would be a trivial representation. Basically, then everything commutes, and then there is nothing to to study. Okay, end of story. This is it. Okay, so now let's talk about the Gassner plus representation. You know what? Let me take a screenshot. Oh, damn it. My sorry, I need to re-log in. Let me take a screenshot, and you'll have it available in a minute. Oh, sorry, technology issues again. Okay, I wonder why, by the way. I mean, yeah, I think we're maybe overloading the local network. So I'll have to do it from the other screen. And, oh my god. Sorry about that. It seems that this is our fate. There will always be technology issues. What was the title that we... It's PolyPoly 1605, I think. Yes. So the title for this one will be... what should it be? The Gassner representation. Okay. Hopefully this will work. Sorry about that. Okay. So next, I want to talk about what I will temporarily call, until I decide on a better name, the Gassner Plus representation. So the Gassner Plus representation is V extended by V. So it's the easy part of this. Okay? Now, I'm not sure what to say about the Gassner Plus representation. So, it's a... The only thing I have to say is... Or, how should I say that? I'm not sure how to describe it abstractly. Okay? The program more or less describes it. So I just have to tell you what's in the program. And the program is just two lines. So two lines of code cannot refer to mathematics, which is too profound, which is too deep. Okay? So basically, the Gassner Plus representation is, so maybe I'll call it V plus, and V plus, as a vector space, is Rn, so it's the ring, the same ring as before, but now it has two copies of the Gassner representation, so it has two sets of generators. So let's call them V1 up to Vn, and U1 up to Un. V1 up to Vn live here, and U1 up to Un live here. So so V1 up to V up to Vn are sort of zero co, or and U1 up to Un are pure one co. Okay, and I should emphasize that this Gassner Plus representation is a module, or is a representation. Okay, so you see, when you say a representation, you implicitly say over what ring, right? Because it means that you map the elements of your group to endomorphisms of a vector space, or sorry, of a module, but you have to say endomorphisms over what ring. So the natural ring, you would think that the ring here is Rn. Okay? And indeed, for the Gassner representation, the ring was Rn. The operations that we had before were Rn linear. But the operations that I will have for Gassner Plus are not Rn linear. They are only Q linear, or, you know, more precisely, Z linear. So the space on which the representation acts is this rank 2n Rn module. But it's really an infinite dimensional representation because it's a representation over Z. Okay? So just to emphasize what's going on. Anyway, how is this representation defined? So basically, they use mixed like in the Gassner representation. So basically, in GP, they use transform like in the Gassner representation. The V's transform like in the Gassner representation. But in addition, every time you apply a sigma ij to a V, so every time you apply a braid generator to this space, you get extra terms which live in this space. Okay? And this is somehow I think the technical name for this is more or less a one cocycle. It's not quite a one cocycle. Maybe later I'll come back and explain how it is related to one cocycles, But for now, let me temporarily call it a one cocycle. And but really, what I need is only to tell you what it is. Okay. So, sorry. And one more thing. The one cocycle is not Rn linear. Everything else is Rn linear. But this extra map is not Rn linear, but only Z linear. So, really I should be thinking of the elements here not as VIs, but as functions times VI, where function means a function of the TIs, and the one cocycle depends not only on the vector, but also on the function, also on the coefficient. It's only Q or Z linear, it's not F linear. Okay. So now, okay, having given this whole introduction, I can tell you what it, I can show you what it is. So Gassner plus IJ, so the IJ generator of the braid group via Gassner plus, acting on Xi. I hope you can see this because I'm highlighting. Acting on Xi is the result of taking Xi and treating the U's like in the ordinary Gassner presentation. Okay? So, as promised. And then, whenever you see a function times a V, so now I'm emphasizing that the function is it's a part of the vector, not a part of the, not a coefficient. So whenever you see a function times a V, you first apply to it the Gassner game. This is just the Gassner game. So the part which is now highlighted is this part. Again, aren't computers silly? Like, I mean, in two lines of code, I'm saying everything that I've just said, okay? Plus, and this is a map from the V space to the U space, so the result here is a combination of U's, and you obtain it by taking Ti minus 1 and multiply it by Ti, the partial derivative with respect to Ti of F, minus Tj, the partial derivative with respect to Tj of F, multiply the result by Fi, and then add something which is Rn linear, so add Fti uj. The part which is not linear is, or not F linear, is the differentiation parts. You know, it's kind of funny because your instincts as a mathematician is to say, this is a linear operator, right? But of course, it's linear over Z or over Q, not over the space of functions. So when people in PDEs say nonlinear differential equations, they mean something different when I say now that this is a differential operator and therefore it is nonlinear. It's in a different sense. Okay? Okay. Now, what can I have to say about it? Okay, you know what? Let me tell you what I have to say about it later. For now, let's verify it. Okay, so I'm also defining the set of things on which I want to verify things, basically the basis. So the basis is an arbitrary function of the TI, of the TIs times V1, then an arbitrary function times V2, then an arbitrary function times V3, and then U1, U2, U3, which are which are on the lower level, so I don't need to specify the function. Okay? So, let me enter this into the computer, and now let me execute Rademeister 3 left, and you get a big mess. I don't know, I have nothing good to say about this mess. This is just the result of, this is just what you get.
So,
Yeah.
When you're defining this one called cycle map, you're thinking of the top. Well, sorry, they're like Z modules or.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is a Z linear map.
Okay.
So therefore, I have to specify the coefficient in full.
And the top thing is infinite dimensional.
Yes.
But the bottom is.
The bottom thing is also infinite dimensional.
Okay.
Over Z.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Christine, are you there? Okay. So next, let me compute R3R, and rather than print it, immediately print the difference between R3 left and R3R. Okay? And the result is a bunch of zeros, so this is a representation of the W braid groups. Sorry.
No.
So this is a representation of, so it satisfies Rademeister 3.
Mm-hmm. Virtual braid.
Yeah. So it's a representation of the virtual braid group. I have no clue. You know, I have no idea where it came from. So, okay, sorry. I know exactly where it came from. It came from some messy computations. But this is clearly the wrong way to view it, right? The right way to view it is there must be some simple-minded thing that, every third grader could understand because, you know, Gassner is simple-minded, so this must be simple-minded too. It's only two lines of code, right? But I don't have a simple-minded understanding. So in a way, that's, you know, it would be great if you get it. Anyway, here's the bad news. So let's do the same for overcrossing commute left-hand side. Oh, by the way, notice, when you look at these things, notice that they actually involve partial derivatives of f. When you the results of these computations involve partial derivatives, as they should. So it really is, I mean, the cocycle really did play a role. Okay? Anyway, now let's compute overcrossings commute left minus overcrossings commute right. And here is the bad news. The bad news is that you get zero. Why is this bad news? Because it means that I'm still talking about invariants of the W braid group. I mean, the W braid group, I sort of fully understand. You know, that's this whole sequences of papers with myself and with Juji. I mean, who cares? I'm kind of unhappy. Okay? Yes?
Another silly question. What does anything interesting happen when you set the TIs to 1?
The TIs to 1.
Do you get...
To one, you get
the
identity. In theory, though, so in Gassner, you just get the identity.
Yeah, what about Gassner plus?
In Gassner plus, it doesn't make sense to set the TIs to one because you cannot
take partial,
derivatives. So, you can also ask what happens if you set all the TIs to be equal to each other. And in Gassner, it makes sense. It fully makes sense to set all the TIs to be equal to each other. And then what you get is the so-called Burau representation. In fact, if you don't believe me, let's copy-paste this to up above here. Also, copy-paste the header to up above and change the name to Burau. Burau. No. Yeah. And now let me remove the TIs, remove the subscript. So just make it a T and change the G to B, okay? And now I've fully defined the Burau representation. And let's test the Burau representation. So let's copy paste this to here and replace all the G's by B's. Well, of course it will work. I mean, it's a specialization. But the point is that, this is the Burau representation. Okay? Now, you can ask, what is Brow Plus? In other words, can you identify all the variables here? And the answer is, not naively, but yes, if you are sophisticated, and this we will do at the end. Okay? Okay, so one last question. So, you see, it doesn't quite formally follow. I mean, okay, so Gassner Plus is an invariant of W braids. It doesn't follow that it factors through Gassner, but I expect that it does. Okay? So, in other words, I expect that the representation I've just described factors through Gassner. So it's somehow a silly thing, so you don't really do anything. Okay, it's somehow you can, if you know the Gassner representation, you know the Gassner Plus representation. Now, I don't know yet how, but so in some, it probably means that the one cocycle here is somehow a coboundary. But I haven't formalized it, I haven't found it, I don't know why this is true. Okay? But fortunately, it stops being true for the next page. Okay? So, let me take another blackboard shot and move on to the next page. Okay. So, by the way, these blackboard shots should be available for you already. I mean, if you know where to find them. Okay. So, next comes the Turbo-Gassner representation. And forgive the name, okay? The name will probably change. So, you know, it will become maybe the Two-Gassner representation. But then people will hate me because they'll expect it to be a representation of a two-group. So, I don't know, it will be something else. But, you know, I'm still playing games, so I'm happy to call it Turbo, on the style of Turbo Tetris, Turbo Mario, and Turbo, whatever. Okay? So this is just, okay, so now I'm talking about Turbo Gassner. So, what is Turbo Gassner? So, it's more or less the same picture, except it's the picture for here, for the second part, okay? So, I don't know, call it Turbo V. So, Turbo V is, so it has a VI part, and the VI part is just an old Gassner, so these are the VIs, live here, and direct sum, S2V tensor V dual, so direct sum S2V tensor V dual, but S2V just means polynomial of the quadratic polynomials in V, in the generators of V. So in other words, a basis for this is polynomials of the form Ui Uj. And let me just declare that the basis for this is, sorry, is Wk. Okay? So a basis for this space is polynomials in variables uis and wj and wk's, where I and j, which are quadratic in the u's and the u's commute, and linear in the w's. Okay, so that's a very easy space again. Okay, and again, the structure of the representation is sort of the VIs are acted on by a Gassner, and then the UI, UJ, WK are acted on by a Gassner squared tensor Gassner dual. And this is sort of this is straightforward representation theoretic stuff. And then there is a one cocycle. Okay? And let me switch on to the precise definition, which is also the implementation, right? The implementing and defining is essentially the same thing. So, so let's read it. So, Turbo Gassner IJ applied to Xi is, well, you take Xi and apply to it a bunch of rules. And the rules are, so, the UIs transform like a Gassner representation. Okay? In other words, the only thing to specify is where UJ goes, and UJ goes to 1 minus TI UI plus TI UJ. You know, I don't know why, but my computer keeps beeping, and I don't know why, but anyway, okay. The WI are acted on by the adjoint, by the dual Gassner. So what does the dual Gassner means? Just to be clear, the dual Gassner means, or how does, suppose you have a representation on a vector space, the representation on the dual space is by the adjoint of the inverse, right? If you just take the adjoint will make it an anti-representation. So you have to take the adjoint of the inverse. So basically, to compute G dual or G I J dual, you have to write the Gassner matrices and then invert and transpose. So if you so let's write the Gassner matrices. So basically, the only interesting entry is in row J. No, in column J, and in column J you have what do you have in column J? In column J, I must have some Gassner somewhere that I can read. Right, so in column J you have entries in row I and row J, and they are, in row I you have 1 minus TI, and in row J you have TI. And then all the rest is 1s on the diagonal. So, sorry, I mean, the it's a bit hard to decipher what I wrote here. But the point is, sorry, this is GIJ. So now, GIJ dual is just you take this matrix, compute it transpose, and compute it the inverse. Okay, it's a, everything is ones except a 2x2 block, so it's like taking the, you know, so it's a 2x2 computation. You'll have to believe me that the result is written here. Namely, WI goes to WI plus 1 minus TI inverse WJ, and WJ goes to TI inverse WJ. Okay? So these two lines, which are now highlighted, are a complete implementation of this. In fact, it's not even an implementation of this, it's an implementation of arbitrary symmetric powers of V with arbitrary symmetric powers of V dual. But I'll only use it on S2V times V dual. Okay? Okay. Next, okay, now I have to tell you where the, okay, now I have to tell you about this part. And for this part, I need to specify F. I need to be aware of F. So the rule is F times VK goes to a sum plus of three things. 1, 2, and 3. Term number 1 is an ordinary Gassner, as promised. So it sends V to a combination of V's using the usual Gassner rule. And terms number 2 and 3 are the 1 cocycle. Now, what is the 1 cocycle? It's 1 minus Ti inverse times the same differential operator as before. And then you apply the Gassner thing to UK, and you multiply by UI WJ. So basically, what this thing is a sum of two terms. It's T1 plus T2. T1 is a map from T1, or you know what, let me call it subscript. T1 is a map from from Rn tensor over Z with V into S2V tensor V dual. Sorry, and it's T1, so you know what, no, let me give them better names, sorry. So let me call this Sij and Tij. Okay, so Sij, because, right, it's this also depends on which element of the, which generator of the Bray group have I used. So Sij maps a function times VK to some differential operator acting on the function times UK, so essentially like acting on the identity on one factor of V, and then you multiply it by, so the I and the J here give you a generator of V tensor V dual. So UI WJ. I don't know what to say, that's what it is. Again, it came from a completely messy place, but somehow my challenge to you is to find the non-messy place from which it also comes from. And, you know, okay, we'll get to it, I'll say more about it later. Anyway, there is also a Tij term, and the Tij term is even simpler. So it's the Kronecker delta, that's why I've defined the Kronecker delta before. So it's delta Ki times whatever is written here. I mean, it's fully specified. Anyway, let's enter this into the computer. So you see, what I really wanted to compute now is the left-hand side of the Rademeister move. So, oh, sorry, the things to check this on are the V's, the U's, and the W's. Okay? So then, I really wanted to compute the Rademeister 3, the left-hand side of the Rademeister 3 move on these checks, but if I'll print it in full, it will run off the screen. you know what, let's print it in full just so that you believe me. So here's what you get. Okay, it's not too bad actually. It's only like a screen and a half. Okay? But you know, it's more fun to ask the computer to print a condensed version. So short version, this is the condensed version and there are terms missing. So you see, this means 9 terms missing. This means 7 terms missing. Okay? But that's roughly what it is. And then I compute Rademeister 3R and the difference between left and right, and the result is a list of zeros. Then the same let's do with overcrossings commute, and the difference is not a list of zeros. In other words, actually, the last 6 elements are zeros. Because the last 6 elements are the U's and the W's, which transform like Gassner and Dual-Gassner, which satisfy overcrossings commute. But the interesting thing is that these are not zeros. Okay? So that's good news. That's where in Hebrew, this is where the dog is buried. Sorry. That's where the center of the argument is. Sorry for the funny language. Let me take a picture and then ask you a few questions. Okay. No, I guess I have mostly one question. And the question is, where is it coming from? What is it? Okay? It's a new representation of the... new to me. Maybe it's not new. So really my question is, if it's not new, where is it coming from? Okay? But it's what is it? Okay? So that's the only question. Okay.
What about Rademeister 2?
Rademeister 2 is never an issue because Rademeister 2 just defines.
Oh, it just defines. It's
the inverse, right? It's
okay.
Rademeister 2 just means that sigma ij times sigma ij inverse.
Okay.
Go to 1, and I just have to. So I have to invert these things, but and I haven't. But it's not an issue.
So you can't even write things in terms of matrix, right? Because it's infinite dimensional.
If you want, it's a matrix which some of whose entries are differential operators.
Oh.
So I could write it in matrix language, but then some of the entries of the matrix will be differential operators.
Okay. So you still don't know what it is.
Okay. But wait, I actually do have a good thing to say about it. Roland, I'm sorry, I mean, this is all boring for you. So, Roland, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. My comment was, I'm sorry, this is all boring for you. So, the next thing I wanted to say is, this is some point that has to be stated. You know, my overall goal is to find polynomial time invariants of knots, right? If I've gone to infinite dimensions, I'm clearly in the wrong place. Okay? So let me reconcile this. Okay, let me try to tell you why this is not the wrong place.
So this is an invariant of virtual braids, but not of W braids.
Right.
Oh.
So the point of Turbo-Gassner is that it's an invariant of virtual braids which are not W braids. Sorry. Which does not factor through W braids, right. Okay. Okay. So, in fact, the Gassner representation is already too big. So you see, the Gassner representation is a representation in, so Gassner is a representation of the virtual braid group on n strands into n by n matrices with entries in Rn, right? Now, suppose you had a 70 crossing braid, then you'll be talking about n by n matrices with entries in Rn, but the entries will roughly be of degree 70. Okay? So, if you look at Rn, and you look at its degree 70 piece, so degree 70 piece of this, and compute the dimension, so it's the dimension of polynomials in degree 70 in n variables. Right? And that's roughly n to the 70. Okay? Now, when 70 grows, this grows like an exponential. So even storing the representation, not to mention computing it, even storing it takes an exponential amount of time, of place. Okay? So, because each entry is so we have a polynomial number of entries, just n times n squared entries, but each entry is infinitely big. Okay? Not infinitely, but exponentially big. On the other hand, the Burau representation, it's again a representation, well, it's a representation of the virtual braid group, but, it factors through W, also Gassner factors, so, but let me still write it as a representation of the virtual braid group. But anyway, it's a representation into n by n matrices of, with coefficients in the polynomial ring over one variable, and the dimension of the degree 70 piece of R1 is roughly, in fact, 1. There's only 1 per polynomial. But, you know, I really mean degree up to 70. Okay, so, and in fact, I mean in absolute value because these are Laurent polynomial. So it's roughly 70, but 70 is an acceptable number. If you have a knot with 70 crossings, then you need to store, you'll have a polynomial of degree 70, that's 70 pieces of information times an n by n matrix, but n here is at most 70. So it's polynomial. So basically, the moral is, Burau is good, Gassner is bad. And I don't really mean it. I mean, there's nothing personal here. It's only in some very technical sense. I've never met Gassner, and I've never met Burau, but in as much as I know, she is just as nice as he is. Yeah. Okay. Good. Now, how do you get from Gassner to Burau? You just identify all the variables, so all TIs become the same. Okay? But the bad news is that you cannot do it for the Turbo Gassner, because Turbo Gassner involves differentiation, right? It involves D to DTI. It doesn't make sense to identify the variables and then differentiate with respect to one of them. Okay? So that's bad news. Okay? But the good news, okay, but on the other hand, you use differentiation at most once. Because remember, the picture was, you had the VKs here, and the one cocycle here, which was a differentiation, and over here you had the UIs and the WJs, okay? And over here you had stuff which was fully, okay, the internal stuff here was fully linear, and this in and was like the Gassner. So this does make, it does make sense to turn it into Burrow. Here you had also stuff which can be, so it was like G squared times G dual, but this can be, it does make sense to identify the variables here. But differentiation, this is the part that doesn't make sense, but in any computation, you will be using differentiation at most once. You will be computing stuff here and coming back to the bit, any combination of V's will come back to combination between the V's. The moment you apply differentiation once, you're in a combination of U's and W's, and then you're again Rn linear. Okay, so you can identify variables. So the issue is how to sort of, can you gain something if you know that you can that you're going to need to differentiate at most once? Okay, it's not, you don't need the full power of differentiation. So okay, and the answer is yes, you can. Okay, so let me define a new ring. So the conclusion is, let's define a new ring. Okay? And everything will be done over the new ring. Okay? And the new ring I will call Rn Nabla. Is this Nabla?
Yeah.
Okay. So Rn Nabla stands for polynomials in one variables. In one variable, for which differentiation with respect to n variables makes sense once. Okay, but more specifically, what are the elements here? So the elements of Rn Nabla are sequences f semicolon F1 up to Fn, where each of these is a polynomial in one variable. So the F and the Fi's all belong to R1. And what I'm thinking is that this is a function, and this is its gradient. This is its n derivatives. So now I have to define a addition and multiplication. So addition is you just add, like a direct sum. But now I have to turn it into a ring, so I have to tell you how to multiply. So I have to tell you what is f semicolon fi, so when I write fi, I mean the list of all f's, how to multiply it with g semicolon gi. Okay? So, the function part just gets multiplied, right? If so, in other words, you should be thinking of, more precisely, you should be thinking of f as a function of n variables in which you've identified all the variables, and the fi's are the gradient of that function, and then identify the variables. Okay? So the function part just multiplies. So the result here is just fg, semicolon. Now, what's the derivative with respect to the first variable? The derivative with respect to the first variable of f times g, by Leibniz's rule, is the derivative of f times g, so it's f1g plus the derivative of g times f, so times f times gi. Let me change the 1 to I. Okay, so basically, this list goes to this list, or the product of these two things is this. But this completely makes sense as a single as a ring of this is a ring, okay? It's a ring, and it's a ring in which differentiation makes sense. So let me explain how does differentiation make sense. So first of all, there are, so basically the derivative is to just look at the ith component. The ith derivative is to look at the ith component, Now, you know, maybe I should just say that there is a map from Rn to Rn nabla. And the map is exactly what you expect. It's the map which maps a function of n variables to f subject to all variables identified, so ti goes to t, semicolon, the gradient of f subject to the same thing. So all the ti go to t. In particular, sort of it's kind of amusing, so tj, the polynomial tj, goes to t, because all variables are identified, and then the gradient of tj is 0, 0, 0, 0, 1, 0, 0, 0, so then followed by 0, 0, by a list of zeros, 1 in the jth place, and then a list of zeros. Okay? So, basically, okay, so if you work over this ring, you have a description, you can do everything that was done here using functions of one variables. Wherever you see a tj, you replace it by this thing. Wherever you see a differentiation, you replace it by take the corresponding component. So everything works. Okay.
So it's linear over this.
And now it is linear over... No, it's not linear over Rn nabla. It's linear over R1. Everything is linear over R1. Let me give you an alternative description of this. So let me take a picture and then give you an alternative description. So this should be called Turbo Bureau.
I mean, this seems like the most elegant solution.
Oh no, I made a mistake, sorry. didn't I? Yeah, I made a mistake, sorry. Okay, so now it should be called Turbo URL. Will it work? Okay, good. I forgot to put a period at the end of the sentence. Okay. Wait, is it the problem is it finished?
It's creating thumbs.
Yeah, it's so slow, I have to okay.
It's done.
Okay, good. Okay, sorry about that. So okay. So when I showed this to Roland, he immediately jumped and said, but this ring must be well known. And in fact, it is well known. Okay? So let me tell you a different way of stating this ring.
Yes.
So what?
Can you keep some of the variables? Like, well, I mean,
oh, you, there are variants. You can make variants of this in which you... right, there are variants where you can keep few, not keep, but...
Okay.
So, this ring is actually, has a much better formulation. So, basically, you know, it has a much better formulation, and the only reason I presented it this way is because I wanted you to sort of see where it came from. Okay, but really, Rn nabla is isomorphic to the ring of polynomials in one variable. Sorry, in n variables, eta 1 up to eta n, which are subject to the relation eta. That the product of any two of them, eta I, eta j, is equal to zero. You see, if you take the ring of polynomials in these variables and kill everything quadratic, then you're only left with the degree zero part. Sorry. Not over z, over R1. No, I wanted to say something else. It's this ring tensor R1. Tensor over Z. Sorry. So right, so this has a degree zero piece and a degree 1 piece. The degree 0 piece corresponds, well, tensor with R1, it will correspond to F and a list of functions. In other words, the map is, so F semicolon F1 up to Fn will go to F plus some eta I Fi. Okay? And it's clear that this is the multiplication rule. It's clear that this is a ring homomorphism. You can check it. Okay? But maybe I should emphasize that in particular, Tj goes to T plus eta j. Under from here. Okay? And now the new kind of picture is, so this I can erase. And now the new picture is so the V part is Z with the eta I's added, and I will not bother to write that. Oh, you know what? I will bother to write. Okay. So modulo eta squared is equal to zero. Tensor, the usual Gassner, and this is acted on by nothing tensor the Gassner representation. Down below, there is just the usual. Sorry, one tensor Borel. Down below, there is V squared or S2V tensor V dual acted on by Borel squared tensor dual Borel. This all makes sense. And over here, there is this S1 plus S2, sorry, S plus T, the two terms, and the S term is really a differential operator, but it is still linear over R1. It's just not linear over Rn nabla. So it's not linear over Z eta I, but it is linear over, wait, where did I should have inserted everywhere an R1, here I should have inserted an R1. So it, no, R1 is included in V, I guess, sorry. Yeah, so maybe I'll write it this way, R1. Anyway, here's the implementation. So, first of all, here is the definition of the etas. So, etas are such that whenever you square an eta, you get zero, and also the product of two etas is equal to zero. And then, Turbo Borel IJ acting on Xi is, so, the UIs and the WIs are acted on just as before, except instead of TI everywhere, I just write T. Okay? The Fs, the VKs, are acted on as before, except instead of having TJ everywhere, I write the image of TJ, which is T plus eta J. So, sorry, instead of TI everywhere, I write T plus eta I. Okay? And finally, the differential operator is T minus 1 times, basically differentiating takes, it gets replaced by taking the coefficient of eta I. So d to dti is taking the coefficient within f of eta I. And this is, so this is the new, the Turbo Borel. And then let me execute it, and it's still a representation, sorry, this is the result. It still satisfies Rademacher move, and it still doesn't satisfy overcrossing's commute, and I'm happy. It became a bit okay. Let me analyze this a little bit before moving on. So just to be clear, over R1, so the rank of this part over R1 is equal to, so the rank of this is n plus 1. The rank of this is n, right? This is just the usual n-dimensional vector space. So the rank here is n times n plus 1. The rank of this part over R1 is, so S2V is N times N plus 1 over 2, and V dual is just N, so times N again. And the sum of this is the rank of over R1 of Turbo Burrau, and it's the sum of these things, and I believe it's N times N plus 1 times N plus 2 over 2. Okay? And this is a finite dimensional representation, sorry, finite rank representation over a ring whose growth is linear in the degree. So if you, you know, if you look at the 70 crossing at a braid of width 70 and 70 crossings, this still grows polynomially. Everything here grows polynomially. So this is a polytime representation of the braid group. Okay? Okay. Now, okay, so I should say, maybe I should ask, I mean, what polytime, what finite dimensional representations of the braid group do people know? So, people must know more, but I'll tell you what I know. The only representations I know are the ones coming from quantum groups, which are, you take basically the one coming from, basically you take things like some representation of the Jones polynomial, you know, some representation of SL2, and you look at the nth tensor power. So these are exponential time. These are, these, the rank grows exponentially. I don't care. Then there is the Burrau representation, which I've just discussed. Then there are the so-called Lorentz-Kramer or Lorentz-Kramer-Bigelow representations. And the Lorentz-Kramer-Bigelow have polynomial rank over polynomially expanding rings. So they are poly. Okay? Now, could this be one of the Lorentz-Kramer-Bigelow representations? So the answer is, well, I don't know. Okay?
Well,
but
the LKB has two variables.
Yeah, so maybe it's a specialization of LKB. Okay? But note, first of all, LKB, in as much as, okay, I'm underinformed. Maybe somebody here is better informed than me. Okay? But I don't know that LKB was ever extended to virtual braids. So, now, I don't know if it extends. But if you think about how the LKB definition, the representations are defined, I don't really know it. I'm not comfortable with these representations myself. But they are somehow about, they are somehow homological. They have to do with studying how homology of configuration space, blah, blah, blah. It sounds reasonable to expect that if they extend to W braids, to V braids, they also extend to W braids. So instead of somehow homology of the complement of n points, you'll be talking about the homology of the complements of n rings, right? So it sounds reasonable to expect that they will extend to W. But if they extend to W, then they're not this one, because this one is not a representation of the W braid group. So, okay. So maybe my question at the end is, well, you know, here is a representation of the V. Here is a finite rank representation of the virtual braid group, totally defined in six, seven lines of code. Parts of these lines completely make sense. Two lines do not make sense. These two lines I don't understand myself. And the question is, what is it? Where is it coming from? What, you know, how does it relate to stuff that we already know? Okay. Okay. Now, I have to say, okay, now about the bigger project. So, so how did I find this, right? I told you that here are two lines of code which I don't understand, okay? These two lines of code come from taking 200 lines of code and somehow simplifying and simplifying and simplifying. The 200 lines of code I do understand. Or I do understand, but they're very complicated. And this is this whole two-core quotient, okay? So this suggests to me, well, okay. This puts me in a place that I've been to many times. So I essentially know how to continue the two-core game in order to get an invariant of knots. Stitching and all of this, and I've shown you parts of it, and there are parts that I know but haven't shown and haven't done, but I essentially know how to do it. And then I will get a 200 lines of code definition, or maybe 300 lines of code definition of a polytime computable invariant of knots. Okay? I mean, this suggests to me that it should simplify to 12 lines. Okay, or it should simplify a great deal. But on the other hand, I don't know how to work directly in this language. So I'm confused. I don't know whether I should continue studying this in the hope that eventually I'll understand how to extend it to tangles and how to find the omega term and, you know, how to do all these things, or whether I should work in the complicated world that I do understand and then project it to the less complicated world afterwards. So I'm in my usual state, namely confused. I don't know, do I have... I have nothing further to say. I'm sorry, I...
Can I make one comment?
Yes.
So you crossed out the R tensor N.
The what?
So R tensor N.
Yes.
Yes.
Up. Yes.
So is that fair?
Is this
so
fair?
How about if you take the... You take the universal R matrix and you let it act on the classical R matrix by commuting past the universal R matrix.
I don't understand you. So is it, maybe let me give you the short answer. Obviously it's not fair, it's what I know. But sorry, what were you saying?
So you're commuting things past.
What? It is hard to understand, especially given that the sound quality is very low.
I'm sorry, but maybe I should say it later.
Sorry, are you saying something or not? I'm.
No.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, no, this is where I am. I don't know. I'm going to spend a few more days. So somehow, you know, I'm going to spend some more time thinking about this. Either it will go somewhere, or I'll go back to the bigger structures and say and learn something from them. I don't know. Again, this is sort of a working seminar. It's not a, you know, pre-cooked things are you know, it's are elsewhere. So yeah, I have nothing further to say. I'm happy to quit. Okay, anybody, any comments, or should we quit? Okay, sorry, Christine and Roland, but you're not invited for dinner. For lunch, sorry. So, next time. So, see you later. Bye.
This one too?
Oh yeah, you should turn that one off. Thanks.